Yep. Brad Paisley. Alcohol. Let's put the lyrics back up. This song is about alcohol, and I'm going to reread the lyrics real quickly and tell you why Mike Yee just tore that thing up. Way to go, Mike. Let's hear it for Mike one more time. And Caroline, first country song he's ever sung. I thought he did a fine job. I can make anybody pretty. I can make you believe any lie. I can make you pick a fight with somebody twice your size. Those can be good or bad things. All right? Then it goes on and says, I've been known to cause a few breakups. That can be a good or a bad thing. I've been known to cause a few bursts. It's a good thing. New life into the world. I can make you new friends. I would like to make new friends. Many of you would need to. Or I can get you fired from work. Then I've influenced kings and world leaders. Isn't that amazing to think about? I helped Hemingway. That's Ernest Hemingway. Those of you that don't pay attention in school, he's an author. He wrote novels like, well, I don't remember. Right, like he did. And I'll bet you a drink or two. I would say a few, but I'd probably get them wrong. I'll bet you a drink or two that I can make you put that lampshade on your head. Probably not a good thing. And there's probably worse things that could happen than having a lampshade put on your head. Since the day I've left Milwaukee, Lynchburg, or Bordeaux, France, I've been making a fool out of folks just like you and helping white people dance. I love that line. I'm medicine. That's good. And I'm poison. That's bad. I can help you up. That's good. Or make you fall. Bad. You've had some of the best times. Awesome. You'll never remember them. No, bummer. With me, alcohol. So here's why we're talking about alcohol at church. Three reasons. Alcohol is everywhere. Alcohol is powerful. And it's confusing. If you're not confused by it, you should be. I mean, so it's everywhere. Let me just give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. Don't put it up. You guys know Easter weekend that happened last weekend. There's Good Friday. The day before Good Friday is Maundy Thursday, is what it's called. Thursday is the day that Jesus had the Last Supper with the disciples and then prepared. He went out to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, and he was so stressed out he sweat blood. So on that Thursday, Trinity Christian Academy is a school that some of you guys go to. They had school off. So Jason Delf, a guy that I work with here at Watermark, and I, we texted a few people from TCA, and we said, hey, do you guys want to meet us for lunch just to hang out? Matthew Galvan's here. Matthew? He's one of them. Brandon, did Brandon make it? He stayed home to do homework. Brandon's his brother. Here's how his brother showed up to lunch with me and Jason Delf. And not only do you not go out to lunch in a tank top, but you don't go out to lunch with your youth pastor in a Corona tank top. All right? It's everywhere. It's on your youth group's tank tops. Alcohol is everywhere. I don't have to convince you of that. Like, you watch a basketball game, you watch a football game, like every other commercial is alcohol. You go anywhere in public, they have a bar. You go to any, you know, baseball game, football game, basketball game, you know, like the advertisements are everywhere. The smell is everywhere. It's all of, so alcohol is everywhere. Like, I don't have to do much explaining for that. It's powerful. It's powerful and it's confusing. I want to illustrate that with one of these Corona lights. All right. So I'm going to, by the way, I almost made Mike Yee sing Red Solo Cup. I fill you up. Let's start a party. It's not, it's whatever, okay? What would happen if I drank this? What would happen if I dropped this whole thing back and just chugged it right here? It gets you fired from work. I'm 33 years old. I would not get drunk. I know I'm a skinny, small person, but I would not get drunk drinking half a cup of Corona Light. It's not illegal. I'm not going to get drunk, but you would freak out. Like if I chug this right, like you would go tell your parents would freak out. It's confusing because it's legal and it's okay, I think, but if my youth pastor did it on stage at church, that would be wrong. But I'm not sure why. I could explain why if I told you it was wrong. In the same way, you're at a party. Here you go. Oh, no. Why not? Can you explain? Like, are you ready? Like, do you know why it's wrong or why it's not okay? What's so bad about alcohol? Come on, what's so bad? It's just one drink. Alcohol is everywhere. It's very powerful. I mean, it does have all the effects that were described in that song. I mean, it can help you relax. It can help you forget your problems. Like, it can help you forget other stuff. But I mean, like, it can make you do things that you would never do otherwise. It's influenced kings and world leaders. It's powerful, but it's so confusing. So that's why we're addressing this topic. Because here's the thing. It's so everywhere. I'm going to tell you this. If you haven't already, you are going to have a first moment and then hundreds of moments following it in your life when you are face to face with alcohol. It's so everywhere. If you haven't already, you are going to be confronted face to face with alcohol. We all have this moment. Some of you live in multiple moments. Some of you have a constant stream of moments. You know, there are people your age with parents that are offering them alcohol every day. An alcoholic parent or something like that. So you're going to be offered it. You're going to have the opportunity to have it. When you're older, you're going to have the option to have it. Like you're going to be at a grocery store and you're going to get some cheese and you're going to get some milk and then there's the beer and then there's the wine. And like you have the opportunity. Like your faith, like I'm face to face. I was at Target. I'm having a cookout tomorrow night, having some people over to watch the basketball game. And I'm getting Coke and then right next to the Coke, there's, you know, all the alcohol. I'm face to face with it. Like and I have the opportunity, I have the ID, I can do it. And you're going to be face to face with it. It's everywhere, and it's powerful, and it's confusing. So I want to help you know what to do in that moment, but I want to give you a principle before we get started that's going to kind of lay underneath everything that we talk about. Let me make sure I'm not leaving anything else out. Oh, another part of the confusion, real quick before I go. Like tonight at dinner, you might have sat at your home and your mom or dad had one of these. And it's like the norm. Like it's not a problem. They just had one and it's cool. And then like you don't even think a thing about it. But for some reason, like if I'm on this stage and then I have one, it just doesn't seem right. Maybe some of you guys would be like, no, it's cool. Do it. And I promise you, there's people in this room that would flip out. Flip it. It's very confusing. Why is it okay sometimes and not okay other times? What's the difference between being 20 years old and 21 years old? It's confusing. I hope to bring some clarity tonight, but before we do that, go ahead and put it up on the screen. This is a powerful statement. If you're going to write anything down tonight, if you're going to put anything in your phone tonight, I would put this down. And I'm going to give you four other things to put down, but this is the one. Your response to alcohol, so everyone at some point or constantly, you're going to come face to face with alcohol. Your response to alcohol reveals what you believe in your heart, what you truly believe, like deep down in your heart, like what you believe about God. Now, a lot of things reveal what you believe about God. Alcohol is just one of them, but alcohol is everywhere, and it's very powerful. It's very powerful. So I think it's a different kind of revelation. So how you respond to this substance that is unique, it is different, it is treated differently than other food and drink, how you respond to it reveals what you believe in your heart about God. Whether you drink it or don't drink it, it can tell you something and it will tell others something. Some people would never come back to this church if I dropped this back tonight. It would tell them something about me and my heart for God. Whether it's true or not, some circumstances it doesn't matter, but it reveals and it communicates something. And I believe it really reveals what's going on in your heart, because here's the thing, I'll give you a little preview of what's coming up. If I were to chug this, it would reveal that my heart is not being sensitive to God, because God tells me to be sensitive to you. And it would not be sensitive to everyone in this room for their youth pastor to drink a beer on stage right in front of them. So it would reveal that my heart is hardened to that part of what God tells me. It reveals something about your heart. And it can teach you something about yourself. And you got to realize it's communicating to everybody. So here's what I want to do tonight. For those of you that are unfamiliar with what God's word says, I'm going to tell you four things about God and alcohol. All right? I'm going to tell you four things about God and alcohol. And then you're going to have to decide throughout the rest of your life whether or not you believe that God is good and trustworthy or not. So I'm going to tell you four things. And you're going to go, okay, the God that said those things, he's good and I can trust those things and I can live according to those things, or he's not. And then how you respond to alcohol is going to reveal to you and to others whether or not you believe God is good and trustworthy. And sneak preview here, sometimes that means you drink alcohol, and sometimes it means you don't drink alcohol. Sneak preview, what I'm saying right up front, my message is not, here's four reasons why you should not drink alcohol. That's not my message. It might be for you today, but not for all of your life. All right, let's dive in. That'll make sense in a second. Four things about alcohol and God. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you these four things, and I'm going to show you some Bible verses. There are tons more Bible verses about each of these four things. I'm just going to give you three or four, and I'm going to go through them really quickly. And here's why. I just want to show you that this is what God says and what God thinks. And it's not just one thing I randomly pulled out of context from the Bible, but I'm going to show you from different parts of the Bible. So if you don't know the Bible, don't get caught up on, well, wait, where's that found and where's this found and what's that? I'm just telling you, the Bible is kind of God's kind of gift to us. It is his word, his revelation of who he is. And so all throughout, he talks about this powerful, confusing subject. It's everywhere, even in the Bible. So I'm going to give you these four things. I'm going to move quickly through God's word. Make sure you get these four things. If you don't get all the scriptures, there's going to be notes and stuff online later. First thing is this. God gives us alcohol. Alcohol is from God. It is a gift from God, just like everything that is created is. I almost made number one, God wants us to enjoy alcohol, but I knew you guys would take that out of context the wrong way. Be like, well, God wants me to enjoy it two at one time. But God gives us alcohol. Ecclesiastes 9:7 says this, now you know when someone's trying to get you to drink, and you go, no, I don't drink, I'm a Christian, and they're smart enough to know the Bible, and they say, well, God gave you alcohol. You can know that these verses are here. Go eat your food with gladness. This is written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. So here's the thing. If you want one, I'll give you one of these. Take it home tonight and drink it in front of your parents and just read them this verse. God told me to. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. God's given us alcohol. Let's look at another one. Psalm 104. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, and oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. John 2:7-9. Here's what Jesus, the Son of God, did. Jesus said to his servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, so this is at a wedding, they ran out of wine, draw some out, take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. The master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Jesus turned water into wine and had people drink it. So God created wine and then Jesus created wine, and they both seem to be okay with people drinking it. And then the Apostle Paul, who took the ministry of Jesus afterwards and was spreading it throughout the world, he said this to his protege, Timothy, stop drinking only water, use a little wine because of your stomach and frequent illnesses. You're getting sick by this bacteria-infested water that you're drinking, so drink wine. He commanded his friend to drink wine. Now, if the message ended right here, we would all be confused and in trouble, and I would get fired. If all I said was, hey guys, God made alcohol. Enjoy it! That wouldn't be a complete message. So don't shut off now. That's just number one. Here's number two about God and alcohol. God also gives us authority. God gives us alcohol. God gives us authority. Now look at what this says, the Bible says about authority. In Titus chapter 3, it says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and ready to do whatever is good. Let's go to Romans 13, and then I'll make a commentary on this. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. So there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So God gives us alcohol, but he also gives us authority. All right, you have the authority of the United States of America and the great state of Texas. And both the federal and the state laws require a person to be age 21 or over in order to purchase or consume alcohol. Except for in the state of Texas, if you are under 21, you are permitted to consume alcohol with the permission and the presence of a parent or guardian. So there is an authority in your life that God has established. There's no authority except that which God has established. So really the authority is God. So God gives you alcohol, but then he gives you some parameters to go around it. Through the governing authorities. I mean, it's very clear, the authority that God's given you not to consume alcohol until you are age 21 or older, except with the permission and presence of your parent. So yes, that means you, as a high schooler in Dallas, if you went home tonight and your parents said, would you like to drink a beer, you could sit down with your parents in their presence and consume a beer and not be breaking the law and not be breaking God's authority. There's other authority. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Ephesians 6 says the same thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on earth. So you have the governing authority, and then you also have the authority of your parents. And most of your parents, if you went home tonight and said, Mom, let's have a beer, she would be like, no. So you honor that. You've got layers of authority in your life, and all of them are from God. So what else does God give us? He gives us alcohol, but he also gives us authority. Let's look at the third thing here. God gives us each other. This is the reason why I will not drink a beer on this stage tonight. Because God has given you to me and me to you. This is a passage worth really studying. And I'm probably putting way too much Bible on the screens for you tonight, but I want you to hear all of it and then go back and study it. So we're going to go into Romans 14, and there's other places that say similar things. Stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Now, I'll just pause right here. Here's what this means. If I were to drink this beer tonight, and you were to freak out, or your parents were to freak out, I, in turn, could judge you and say, you are creating an authority which God did not create, because I am under God's authority, and the law in the United States and Texas says I'm legal to drink, and I am not getting drunk, and therefore you are adding to God's law, and I am judging you for judging me. And basically, what Paul is saying here to the Romans is, listen, stop judging each other. You stop judging that guy that's 33 years old and has a beer, and you stop judging them for being judgmental. You stop judging each other and do this. Just don't make each other judge. Like, don't make each other stumble. Don't put an obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. How about this? How about you judge me another way? I drink it on stage. You don't freak out and say that's wrong, but you take that as a permission slip to go drink yourself. I'm causing you to stumble either way. I'm causing you to become a prideful, judgmental person that adds to God's law, or I'm causing you to be someone that breaks the law because you felt like you had permission because I did it. Either way, I'm causing you to stumble. So Paul says, verse 14, right in the middle, if you want to pick up with me, I'm convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing's unclean itself. So alcohol is not unclean. God made it. But if anyone regards something as unclean, for that person it's unclean. So if you decide, like, alcohol is poison to me, guess what? Somebody that's been an alcoholic, alcohol is poison to them. They can't even touch it. They can't even be in the same room with it. They can't even be around it because they've seen the destruction that's brought to their life through consistent drunkenness and dependence on it and addiction. It is poison to them. If you've grown up in an alcoholic home or been around alcoholic family members or had alcoholic friends, you know the destruction that it can bring into a person's life. And even though you haven't been an alcoholic, you see that as poison to you. So if for you it is unclean, then for you it's unclean. It's poison. So what Paul's saying is, hey, I am convinced that alcohol is a gift from God. It's clean. But if for someone else it's unclean, I need to be sensitive to that. Verse 15, let's keep going. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. That's why I'm not drinking this tonight, is because I love you and I don't want to stress you out. I don't want to confuse you. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Mutual edification is a fancy way of saying just encouragement of other people. Don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food's clean, but it's wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. Keep going. It's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else. So meat, real quick, was people would sacrifice certain types of food to idols and other people would stress out. So even certain types of meat had the stigma that back then that alcohol has today. It's better not to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. So God gives us alcohol. He gives us authority. Number three, he gives us each other. Go ahead and put those three up there real quick. I want to talk about this one a little bit more. This is what we tell your leaders. There are a lot of Christian camps, Christian fraternities and sororities, Christian ministries that will tell their volunteers, you sign this covenant that you will not consume alcohol while you are serving in this ministry. We don't tell our leaders that. What we tell our leaders is, don't cause anybody to stumble. You have freedom. You have permission under the law to enjoy something that God has created, but you better not cause anyone to stumble. So here's what that looks like for me. Here's what that looks like for me. I will not have, if I go to a Mavs game, I won't order a beer. And here's why. I don't want you to see me drinking a beer and stumble. To be confused by that, to think that that gives you permission to drink a beer, or to think that I am getting drunk and I am being sinful in that moment. So even though it's like totally within the law for me to have that beer, if somebody around me doesn't know the whole story and then I'm just having one or half of one or like whatever it is, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to cause them to stumble. If I'm out at a restaurant like near North Park or in Richardson where I live or anywhere around where you guys live, I won't order it. I won't order a margarita. I won't order a beer. I won't have a glass of wine even, because I know there are some of you who have alcoholic family members. I know there's some of you whose friends are destroying their lives and their consumption of alcohol. I know some of you who've gotten in trouble with the law, who have been in jail, I know people that have gotten kicked out of their houses in high school because of alcohol. And so here's the deal. God's given us each other. And so I have to consider that. I have to consider you, not just the law and the letter of the law, but other people. Here's what else that looks like, though. I go on vacation with my wife's family to Colorado, and we're sitting around playing cards, and everybody's having a glass of wine. I might have a glass of wine there because I know it's not going to confuse anybody in that room. We're all on the same page. They know how much I'm drinking. They know who I am. They know my heart. They know why. And so there's this kind of fluid parameter where I'm trusting God and being sensitive to other people when I'm making my decisions as someone that's of age about alcohol. Number four, God gives us wisdom. I keep talking about being drunk, so here's the part where I'm going to kind of bring that up a little bit more. Ephesians chapter 5. Says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. God, this is guys, here's the thing. We live our lives, we're guilty of this, and this is not the right way to live our lives. We live our lives and we just want to know what's a sin and what isn't a sin. And I won't do the sins and I'll do all the things that aren't sins. And if I stay away from the sins, then I'm good. That's not how God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to live our lives like this. Man, what's wise? Like, what is the most practically good way to live so that I can have a full and productive life? How can I trust and walk according to God's wisdom? So kind of try to get this thinking out of your head. When you catch yourself doing it, is it a sin to do this? Is it a sin to do that? Just stop and go, is it wise to do this? Now, God is clear about some things are sin and some things aren't, so I'm not trying to make sin not a big deal. But this passage here is talking about wisdom, and it applies so perfectly to alcohol. You make the most of every opportunity. Me being at a Mavs game is a ministry opportunity, and I blow it if by having a beer I cause you to stumble or confuse you or your parents or one of our leaders or anything like that. So I got every opportunity. These days are evil. I want to maximize my opportunity. So I'm not going to be foolish. I'm going to understand what God's will is. Then he just spells it out. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Raise your hand. How many people were debauched this weekend? You don't even know what that means. So I'm going to explain it to you real quick. All right? Here's the definition for debauchery. This is good. I'm going to turn my page. Debauchery. Greek word, asotia. Extreme indulgence that leads to loss of control. Extreme indulgence that leads to loss of control. So here's what God is saying here. Is, hey, be careful how you live. Don't be unwise, be wise. And here's the wise thing to do. Don't lose control. Because disaster happens when you lose control. And God, guess what? God loves you. God is a good daddy. He is trustworthy and he wants what's best for you. And he wants you to believe his goodness and trust him. And to be wise because he knows and we know. I mean, you know, when you lose control, disaster happens. You lose control of the wheel in your car, disaster. You get that. You lose control of your bowels, disaster. Loss of control equals disaster. You're in class, you lose control of your mouth, you tell the teacher, well, you're fat, disaster. You lose control, it leads to disaster. When you drink too much alcohol, when you become drunk, which leads to debauchery, loss of control, you lose control of your speech, your mobility, your ability to make decisions. You lose control of your memory, your possessions. Oftentimes, you lose control of your relationships. Everybody has a story. Ask your leaders. Somebody got drunk, they made out with so-and-so's ex-girlfriend, and their friendship was broken forever. Everybody has these stories. You lose control of your relationships. You lose control of your possessions. You don't have to turn on the news for 5 minutes to hear about somebody losing control of their own body. And abusing somebody else or becoming abused. Here's some of the disaster that results. You get a reputation. You get drunk, you get a reputation. You get drunk one time, it changes your reputation. You get drunk a bunch, that reputation is in stone. And you get a reputation for either being an annoying drunk or an angry drunk or a dangerous drunk or a gross drunk or irresponsible drunk or a hurtful drunk. That's me. I mean, you get a reputation when you lose control. Here's other examples of disaster. You get into trouble. You get arrested. You get grounded. You get in a fight. Alcohol, when you're drunk, becomes a gateway drug, and you start using other drugs. You get addicted, and you depend on it. You get abused, or you abuse others physically, sexually, verbally. You get into an accident, and you hurt yourself or others, or you die, or you kill someone else. You've all heard those stories. You've had those assemblies, right? The car parked outside that's all banged up from a drunk driver. Leads to disaster. Don't get drunk on wine. Not because, well, that's against the list of do's or don'ts. No, because it's unwise. It leads to loss of control. Don't be out of control. Don't be out of control. God gives you wisdom. God gives you wisdom. So here's what I want to do. Let's put those four up real quick. God gives you alcohol. He gives us authority, though. He gives us each other, not to cause each other to stumble, and he gives us wisdom. So here's what I want to do. This is risky because you're going to want to, like, make a copy of this and then be like, I'm just going to follow these rules, but I'm going to give you a chart, all right? I'm going to give you a chart. So let's put it up on the screen. There's behaviors in one column that reveals you trust God, and the other column reveals you don't trust God. So remember what I said at the beginning. How you respond to alcohol reveals what you believe in your heart about God. So let's start with the first column, reveals that you trust God. At any age, if you choose not to drink out of submission to authority, you trust God. So that means for you guys, the authority is the law and your parents. For me, if Todd, he didn't, but if my boss, Todd Wagner or Bron Brown, if they told me that it was against the rules and my job not to drink, if I chose not to drink out of submission to their authority, I would be trusting what God's put in my life. When I worked at Pine Cove, I was over 21, but that summer they asked us not to drink and we signed a covenant and I was under their authority. I didn't drink. I'm trusting God because I'm submitting to authority. Even though I'm 21 and the law says I can, the authority that God put in my life through camp said I couldn't. I don't drink to avoid knowingly causing others to stumble. That's what I do at the Mavs games. That's what I do when I'm at Mikosina. I don't drink to avoid knowingly, not possibly, but knowingly causing others to stumble. Under 21, you don't drink without your parents' approval or presence because it is against the law. You're trusting God. Or, this is crazy, you can trust God and drink alcohol under 21 with your parents' approval and presence without getting drunk and without causing others to stumble. Now, you've got to take all that into consideration, but I am telling you, it is possible. So I don't want you to walk out of here feeling guilty if your dad let you have a sip of his beer. If you're trusting God, it's, you're in his presence, his approval, you're not getting drunk. If you're at a wedding and there's a champagne toast and your parents let you have a sip of champagne, as long as you're not like causing others to stumble and other people are freaking out because of that, or your friends are getting drunk because they saw you have a sip and you're a leader in their life, then you're okay. If you're over 21, you leaders, this is for you and for you guys when you grow up, you can drink without getting drunk as long as you're not knowingly causing others to stumble. Now, how do you reveal that you don't trust God? You get drunk anytime, any age. You just don't trust what his word says. You don't trust his wisdom. You don't drink believing alcohol is evil. That was me. The reason why I didn't drink in college, the reason why I never had a sip of alcohol, was because I thought alcohol itself was evil. I didn't believe that God gave us alcohol. I just didn't. And I was judgmental and I was prideful. And like, it's a funny story. My wife, before we were dating, she's a leader in our ministry, and she has a Christmas party at her apartment with her roommates, and I go to her Christmas party, and there's just, you know, like, I mean, we're all like 24, 25 years old, and there's like 20 of us there, and they serve wine with dinner. And I went to the office after that weekend, and Braun asked me, hey, how was your weekend? And I was like, well, I went to this Christmas party. How was it? I don't know. I think I'm going to have a conversation with Allie because they had wine. And Braun was like, and? And I was like, and they had wine. Are you hearing me? That is bad. And I didn't drink because I believed alcohol was evil. I didn't trust what God had given us and there was an appropriate way to handle it. And I was like really ready to go like fire her as a leader. And guess what? No, get this. Let's talk about wisdom. I wouldn't have a wife and I wouldn't have 3 children if I didn't get over my creating my own law that God hadn't created. So you can also distrust God by not drinking. I just wanted to make that point because that's where I was in my life. All right, you don't trust God if you drink without your parents' approval or presence and you're under 21, or if you drink with it, but you cause others to stumble. So even if your parents say it's okay, it might not be okay if you're causing your friends to stumble. You've got to be sensitive to your friend who has a parent that drinks too much. The same thing here that happens on the right. Even if you're over 21, even if you drink without getting drunk, but if you cause others to stumble, man, you're not revealing a heart that fully trusts God. That's your leaders. Like if some of your leaders take advantage of their freedom in Christ and they just, everywhere they go, they have a drink and they're posting pictures, selfies, look at my margarita! And they're not sensitive to the fact that they have high school students in their small group that are going, wow, it's cool to have a margarita. I want to have one too because I want to be like my leader. That's not really trusting what God's asked them to do. All the scriptures are there at the bottom. This chart's online. So here's the closing. I want to show you the rest of Ephesians 5, and then we'll get out of here. Your response to alcohol reveals what you believe in your heart about God. Ephesians 5. Look at the very bottom. Don't get drunk on wine. It leads to debauchery. Instead, so here's the alternative. Here's your application. So I put verse 18 back in there. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Here's how you handle alcohol appropriately. You be filled with the Spirit. you fill your life with God, and you speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Now, that seems kind of random. Here's what that means. You be filled with the Spirit, and you surround yourself with God's people that are also filled with His Spirit, and you're talking to each other about godly stuff, and you're giving thanks to God and everything in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how you live your life. So here's the deal. That chart is confusing because on both sides of it, there's drinking and not drinking. And I know there's some of you out here that are just rule followers that are like, I just want to do the right thing, so just tell me like what the right thing to do is. But here's the reality. It changes with every season of your life and every situation. So the right thing to do is to walk in God's Spirit with God's people all the time. You walk in God's Spirit with God's people. You follow those guidelines. You trust His truth. But ultimately, every situation, I have to ask myself, is this going to cause others to stumble? And I have to trust God's Spirit. And I have to have this conversation. And then I have to ask my wife. All right, we're at Mi Cocina at Coit and Campbell. I really want a margarita. Is this a good idea? Is this a good place? And I talk to her about it. I talk to God and I talk to her. I walk in God's Spirit and with God's people. So here's what I want to ask you to do. And I think this is important for you guys to do. Go back to the statement about how you respond to alcohol. Yeah. Your response to alcohol reveals what you believe in your heart about God. How you handle this reveals to you and others your heart. It is an immensely important part of your life, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and it's powerful, and it's very confusing. And you are going to be confronted with alcohol, and it is going to reveal what's in your heart. And I want you to walk in God's Spirit, and I want you to walk with God's people. And then here's just something very practical I want you to do to apply both of those things. I want you to rehearse your response or responses. Here's what I mean by that. I want you to think through, what are the situations that I have been confronted with alcohol face-to-face, or I might be? It might be a party, it might be at a lake house, it might be in college, and whatever it is. And I want you to rehearse your response. If you're in a play, you have to rehearse, and you have to learn your lines, you have to practice your lines. I want you to walk in God's Spirit with God's people, and not just you in the mirror or at home in your room. I want you to get a Christian friend. I'm asking you to do this, to get a friend and to actually do the awkward thing of like playing it out, like, hey, want a beer? What's your response going to be? And say, hey, here are the circumstances. I think I'm going to come face to face with alcohol. Here are the circumstances. Let's practice each one. Let's rehearse our response. Because let me just tell you this. In the moment, it's too late. In the moment, it is too late. So you need to know what God's Word says. You need to walk in His Spirit and with His people and figure out how you're going to respond when you're confronted with alcohol. And then I'm going to ask you to do the silly thing. You can do it in your small groups, but just step up and do it on your own. You're in high school, and just practice your response. Here's the thing. If you're not a Christian, like all of this stuff I just told you, this is what God's Word says. This is what the Bible says. This is what Christians believe. Rehearse your own response. Make up your own response. I'm begging you to listen to what God says. It's wisdom. But, I mean, just basic wisdom is going to tell you, like, don't live your life smashed. You're going to end up hurting a bunch of people and getting hurt yourself. So if you're not a Christian, just like practice how you're going to respond to alcohol. Take that baby step. But I want to urge you to consider the four things that God gives us. He gives us alcohol. He gives us authority. He gives us each other. And He gives us so much wisdom. And to consider those things, to walk with Him, to walk with other people who know Him, and to have your responses ready. Rehearse your response. If you have questions, ask. Ask leader, ask me. Let's talk about alcohol. All right? If you want to ask for this, you can't have it. I'm going to pour it out. Okay? Let me pray and let's go. God, I thank you that your word speaks into the things that are everywhere and powerful and confusing in our life. And I thank you that you don't just give us like this clear, like do this, do that deal, but that you ask us, you invite us into a relationship with you. You say, just walk with me and trust me. I thank you for that because it pushes me to you every day and every week. And every time I'm confronted with alcohol, I have to come to you and I have to talk to your Spirit and I have to surround myself with your people. I thank you for that. And I pray that these students would be thankful for that lack of clarity. I pray that they would be thankful for the confusion and that they would bring that confusion to you. And they would deepen their relationship with you and with each other as they rehearse the responses and then respond in a way that fully trusts your goodness and your trustworthiness. In Jesus' name, amen.